this is Shane Kanto.
And I'm Diana Jebbia.
And welcome to the Ruthless Obsession Podcast as we take you as we take you into the world of professional wrestling here on the SPDM Crew Podcast Network. And if you couldn't tell, we both watch wrestling, and that's why we're here to talk about some wrestling with you. But this is our first episode, and just to give you a little sense of what this show is going to be, each episode we're going to bring to the table, each of us, a topic, whether it's a match, a promo, or some kind of wrestling news that we want to bring to the table and discuss with each other, and then you all get to listen. And we'll be covering probably mostly WWE and AEW, seeing as, you know, they're the biggest wrestling organizations here in the United States. But, you know, you never know. Something big enough might be getting its way into our discussion. But, Diana, let's get started with some basic questions about, like, our own experiences. But what's your experience with professional wrestling up to this point?
Yeah, crazy. So I started watching, like, when I was working my first job in radio, so like early 20s, but my experience with pro wrestling dates before that, because my cousin Michael had like the 2K video games, and this was like one of the first ones. Like, they were graphics that were horrible and like laggy, and I remember he would always be The Rock and I would always play as China, and like I did not watch wrestling at all, but I was obsessed with China. Like, I wanted to be her. I loved her Titantron, her theme, like she was everything. So I always had that little ruthless obsession with her, if you will. So then my little brother started watching. That was like, you know, when I started my first big girl job, and I would watch with him a little bit, but not religiously. And that was also around the time that Total Divas came out, which, like, you know, Total Divas, you got to give it a hand. I know some of the male pro wrestling fans like to knock it, but it really did bring females into the demo. Like, it is really responsible for bringing up that female audience intrigue into pro wrestling. So I got into that, and then I dropped off a little bit because I had a falling out with a friend who liked it, and I just didn't want to think about it at all. And then I got sucked back into it last year, hardcore. I was watching Miz and Mrs., and I'm like, you know what? If I care about these people this much, why don't I just give Raw, like, watching it committed like a try. Then with Raw came SmackDown, like binge the whole year. And then from there I got into AEW, and they have a lovely community. I'm going to shout out AEW Heels. It's for women and people who identify as women. And it's just, we love pro wrestling because not many women love wrestling. So it's great to go online, have that little community. You could talk about anything from wrestling to like how your day was, and they support you. And we've had in-person meetups, and I've just met the realest, coolest people. And we also have Zoom calls with some, like, sometimes there's AEW actual wrestlers on the calls. So it's just too long, didn't read. You know, I had a really weird entry into the sport, which I feel like a lot of people do. But the payoff has just been wonderful. And, like, the community has just been awesome. And I'm just so glad I'm embracing it.
Awesome. And yeah. I know my history with pro wrestling goes back to when, I don't know, I was probably like 7, and I had WCW NWO Revenge for the N64, and I used to play that so much. That was the one game my mom kept taking away because it was too violent. That,
you had to blow on those cartridges.
Indeed. And it was that and GoldenEye were the two games she kept taking away because they're too violent.
I remember GoldenEye. That's so funny.
And ever since then, my favorite wrestler was The Giant. And I had a Giant action figure and Kevin Nash. And people wonder why my favorite wrestler is Paul White, The Big Show. And that's why. And then I didn't really watch it. I remember dabbling watching back in 2003. I think it was on like UPN 57 SmackDown. And I actually witnessed when Brock Lesnar superplexed Big Show and broke the ring. Like, I was watching that episode and I thought that was like the coolest thing. But it was back in 2006 when I started really watching pro wrestling, I went in, my brother was watching Monday Night Raw, and that was the first time I was allowed to start staying up to 11 p.m. was because my mom let me watch Monday Night Raw on Mondays, and I could stay up until 11 o'clock. And I've been hooked ever since. My birthday gifts from my grandpa used to be buying me Survivor Series on pay-per-view because it always came out around my birthday. I had a WrestleMania party every single year from like middle school through the end of high school and everything. And my brother, around the same time when I first started watching Raw, started watching TNA wrestling too. So like I watched TNA wrestling on a weekly basis as well. So it was Raw, SmackDown, and Impact. That I'd watch every week. And I went away to college, met a huge group of friends that all watched wrestling. We used to drive up to Buffalo Wild Wings to watch all the pay-per-views because they just had it on and we just paid for our food. And then, I had a big falling out with the main people in that group. And my love for wrestling kind of like faded, and I didn't have anybody to watch it with, so I just didn't watch. But the thing is, I always would keep up on results with like What Culture and Bleacher Report and SE Scoops and everything, those websites. And then, once WWE Network got bought by Peacock, and I had Peacock, and I'm like, I can just watch the pay-per-views whenever I want. And so, like, I'll keep up and I watch WWE pay-per-views. Sorry, premium live events. And I have people, I ask people to come over. Occasionally they do for like the big four WWE premium live events. So like we had a couple of people come over for the Rumble, and I will be inviting people over for both nights of WrestleMania. But Diana is my closest wrestling friend at this point, so we should start a podcast and talk about wrestling. So that's kind of
Hell
where
yeah.
this came about. Because I'm like, I wanted to be part of Mike Hilty's new podcast network. And I'm like, whenever I join a different website or something, I'm like, I don't want to do the same thing I do elsewhere. So I'm like, what am I not leveraging my passion for wrestling? I'm like, well, and then I asked Diana, and that's where we are now. I guess, Diana, what wrestling do you watch on a regular basis or at least keep up with?
Oh, it's WWE and AEW. So literally, like, I've got my week planned out. So like Monday Night Raw, which, by the way, in so I live in LA and I get the East Coast feed. So it comes on at 5 for me and ends at 8, which is perfect for my grandma
Nice.
bedtime.
Nice.
When I was back on the East Coast for the holidays, like, it was horrible. I had to DVR the end of it because I would always fall asleep around like 10. And then Wednesday is Dynamite. Friday, I love that we have both Rampage and SmackDown, and then Saturday's Collision. And then, of course, PLE sprinkled in there when applicable. I love Peacock too. And then I haven't, or I just started rather, buying AEW's pay-per-view. So I went to Full Gear Live. So, like, that's, I bought a ticket. So, like, whatever. And then when I was in Jersey for the holidays, my best friend, I wanted to go to World's End so badly. I was like, oh my God, it's a Nassau Coliseum. It's a waste not to go. But then I realized I forgot like the time difference. And I'd be like, oh, I'm taking NJ Transit from like the LIRR back to Secaucus at midnight. No, thank you. So my friend Alyssa was like, why don't you just come stay over my house and we'll split World's End, which we did, and we had a ball and we ordered good pizza and all that. And then I'm gonna buy Revolution, even though no one out here is gonna watch it with me, or if they do, I'm not gonna make them chip in because that's not something they'd buy. But I gotta see Sting's last match. And I'm a huge Darby fan, as you know. We have matching friendship bracelets. I'm gonna just pretend he wears his. Yeah, so I'm just so stoked for that. But yeah, that's what I keep up with. And I listen to a lot of the podcasts. Like, I'm a huge The Ringer fan. My favorite's Cheap Heat with Peter Rosenberg, and he seems awesome. He read one of my emails on the air. I was so excited. I
Nice.
listen to WrestleTalk. I recently got into post wrestling. Yeah, that's kind of like, if I have a, LA traffic, if I have a drive that should be 5 miles and it ends up being an hour, these podcasts keep me going, and at the gym too.
There you go.
Yeah.
I don't watch as much anymore because one, my primary hobby at this point is film, and I spend a lot of time doing that. But like, I'll have because like I have Hulu Live TV, so like I'll have Raw or SmackDown on in the background on like my laptop or something. And if I'm like really interested in checking out like a segment or angle that's going on, I'll watch it actively. I'll occasionally put on I'll put on AEW sometimes. I don't really watch a whole lot of that, but one thing I do every morning after there's a weekly show is I go on to What Culture, I go on to Bleacher Report, see what happened. I look up their TikToks and watch what happened. And if something like really interests me, I will go onto like YouTube and try to find like the longer video of like what happened in this match. Or like, there's certain wrestlers like I'll if Gunther's having like an Intercontinental Championship match, I'm gonna watch it. And it's like one of those kinds of things. So like I'm fully aware of what's going on all these shows. I just don't take as much time to like sit and watch it anymore. But I do watch all the whether it's really actively or at least I'll have it on. I'll always be watching the WWE premium live events. And I wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning, so I will be watching Elimination Chamber, even from.
I'm so jealous it's on at 5 for you. We had this conversation like last week, and I like figured out, I was like, oh, that's on at 2 in the morning for me. Guess I'm gonna wake up and watch it with my protein waffles at like 8 and hit start from beginning. Like, not a thing waking up at 2.
No, it's really exciting and cool that WWE is going global with the premium live events. But then you also have to deal with all the time differences and everything. I know Backlash is in France, so that's probably like 5, 6, 7 hour difference, probably something around there. But I watch those. I keep up with everything that's going on in AEW. I even keep up on mostly everything that's going in TNA as well, because I have like a soft spot for TNA because I used to watch that on a weekly basis when that was like the number two wrestling show in the United States. And I even keep up with NWA, which is why I'm like I got super excited when Nick Aldis showed up on SmackDown. I'm like, oh my God. And I'm like, when's Camille signing with a different company? And it's like, why the hell does William Corgan keep pushing Tyrus? I know because a certain population that he wants to watch his show. But it's like one of those kinds of things where it's like I'm always paying attention because I love wrestling. And I used to have every WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, Survivor Series, and SummerSlam on DVD through at least the first 30 of them before I got rid of all of them because of personal stuff that happened to me back then. But like I used to watch them so much. As like I know like all the rumbles and everything. So this is exciting, like getting a chance to actually like have something structured to talk wrestling with somebody.
And now you have Peacock. Like, I was just before the Rumble came, last weekend, I was like watching a bunch of the old Rumbles. Like, I watched from 2007, I think, to 2011. And it's like, I
Nice.
never watched those growing up. So, like, it was mostly a surprise to me. Like, of course, the big return. Like, I remember John Cena return in one of them. So I knew that was going to happen. But the little cameos I didn't know about. So I was like, oh, that's kind of cool.
I watched that 081 live and I lost my mind because I remember when he tore his pec in like September and somehow he was back in January. But no, I rewatched the 07 one, Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker, one of the best endings of a Rumble ever. And I rewatched the 92 one to see Ric Flair win the WWE WWF Championship at the time. But yeah, so hopefully you all enjoy the conversations that Diana ha and I have on this show. But I guess we could get started with our two topics that we wanted. So, Diana, what did you want to discuss for this week's episode?
I gotta bring it to Bailey and damage control on SmackDown. Like, we knew this rift was coming, but the way they did it, in my opinion, was chef's kiss. Like, they really played to the demo who watched Boy Meets World and Full House and all those sitcoms when they're in the locker room and they're talking crap about Bailey and she's in the corner. Like, you expect to hear an audience go, aw, and then like sad music, like, do, do, do. And then she comes out in front of everyone and the big reveal, like, I know you were all talking about me, and she speaks Japanese to them and I don't know what she says. I still gotta Google that, but she turned, she's like, I'm facing you at WrestleMania, EO. And like, then they were, she was gonna hit her with the pipe, but they were just staring at each other and there was that moment of tension. And I don't want to say I never was a Bailey fan, but I missed her. I didn't watch throughout her whole face run, right? And when I did tune in, I was just like, oh, this girl's kind of annoying, like the lead of damage control, but she has grown on me ever since. I think it was Survivor Series was when Kairi Sane came back and there was like that rift starting. Was that Survivor Series or was it the one before that?
Oh, I think that was an earlier pay-per-view, premium event, because that Survivor Series was when they had the War Games.
So it was the one before that, which I don't remember. It was Fest, I don't know, whatever. It was an event anyway. So that's when Bailey started growing on me, and I had her to win the Rumble, and she won. And just like knowing that she is getting her match at WrestleMania, and she mentioned that she's done everything there pretty much except have that match. I am over the moon for her. This was just like, I had chills. That was one of the best promos. It's only January, or it's only February now, excuse me, but I'm gonna call that promo of the year.
There you go. I was a big Bailey fan back in NXT, and when she got called up, I still have I'm a Hugger t-shirt, the purple t-shirt and
Oh my
everything.
God.
I don't think I'll ever be able to fit in it again. I have to lose a lot of weight. But the thing is, like, I have that shirt. I own it because I loved Bayley. She was one of my favorite women's wrestlers. And when she turned heel, I was not a fan of shrill, shrieking Karen Bayley. And I kind of lost interest in her as a character. But this was really well. I feel like they salvaged a lot, because when they brought Bayley out with Io Sky and Dakota Kai at SummerSlam and introduced like damage control, I don't think they really did a good job of following up with this new stable for a while. And they finally started clicking. And then much of last year was great. And then, oh, they set this up perfectly. When Kairi Sane came back, I'm like, oh, this is going to get awkward. And then when Asuka turned and joined them too, I'm like, Bailey's done. Because like they really needed something to happen after Dakota Kai got injured. And this has just been a great build up to this point. And I know people complain that it's like, oh, it was obvious. It's like, so well, we'll get to that in a second, but like, so what if Cody Rhodes like facing Roman Reigns again? But like, it's still a good build up. Who cares if
So
it's
was the
obvious?
ending of Saltburn, but like the first two acts were good, right?
It's one of those kinds of things where it's like, this felt earned, and it's been a while because like they've been planting good seeds, even at Survivor Series, where Bailey put her body on the line to protect her whole team, and they don't really show her much respect. And this was earned, and having Rhea Ripley in like the background just eating it up is fun too, because she 100% thought Bailey was going to be picking her, which means that Becky can win at the Elimination Chamber and we can get that match instead. But I'm going to be super excited to see Bailey versus Io Sky at WrestleMania, because Bailey's a really good worker and Io Sky's insane. Like, she's an incredible wrestler. Like, I've seen videos of her in Lucha Underground wrestling like men and doing insane stuff, and I'm like, if she even brings like a fraction of that, she put on a whole great match with Meechan randomly in that match. And it's like, there's no build to that at all. It was like a weak build, literally, as in WEEK, week, a week. They set that up and she still killed it. So this is going to be a really exciting WrestleMania match for me.
Like you said, she's just nuts. The stuff she can do and like jumping off the rope and flipping, like the spatial awareness you have to have in order to pull that off. Like, we're lucky I can make it to my front door without tripping. So I give her so much credit. And just like you said, it's earned. We've seen the buildup, we've seen the breakdown. You know, we saw that moment of tension in the ring between them. So I just know this is going to be a really good match. I think if Triple H and the folks at WWE Creative have any sense, they will make that main event. I think it's about damn time we have a woman main eventing one night of WrestleMania. They dropped the ball with Charlotte and Rhea big time. Big time. And listen, I get why they had to go like the Sammy Uso route, whatever, but like that was just Charlotte and Rhea was just like a top-notch better match all around. And I think if they learn from that, they're gonna give us Bayley EO as night one headliner.
And me being a traditionalist here, because I've watched so much of WWE history, it would be nice for once to actually make the Royal Rumble actually mean you get the main event WrestleMania and not just mean you get a title match. Because, like, it's been so long since they've consistently actually put that in the main event of the show. And, Cody's not going to get the main event either, because at this
Oh
rate,
my
which we'll talk
God.
about in a minute, but it's one of those kinds of things where it's like, I would love to see that. And I don't know if it's going to happen, especially because what's cooking up to be the other women's title match, I think, is a lot higher profile than this one. At least, like, you're dealing with Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch, who are two of the biggest women's wrestlers in WWE. But, like, Bayley and Io would deserve it. And Bayley would deserve it after that incredible Rumble performance, too. I'm not gonna lie, though, I was so wanting Jade Cargill to pull that off at the end of that match. I was so into her coming in and just wrecking shit in that match, and I'm just like, so close.
She's a vision. She, oh my God. Like, I texted my mom because my little brother had it on. And she's like, oh my God, I see. I'm like, look at this woman. Like, she looks like she was sculpted from the gods. Like, that is the only way to explain it. And she lifts Nia Jax over her head like I'm lifting a bag of Doritos from my cabinet, like effortlessly. I cannot. Like, she is just such a good sign for WWE. Of course, I know they're missing her at AEW, but like when you look at the ring, she just looks like she's a natural. Like, her, Tiffany Stratton, who I would love to see the two of them in a match, those are two women that when you look at them, you're like, they were literally born to do this.
Oh, and I'm hoping WWE pulls the trigger and we actually get three women's matches at WrestleMania this year, and we get Jade versus Bianca, because that would kill. It's like, and watch them just front load them all on night one, because
Oh,
wait.
but speaking of Bianca, I do want to give her a shout out for her reality show, Love and WWE, Bianca and Montez on Hulu. I binge watched the whole thing in a day. It's very cute. It's a good show for all. I mean, men can watch it too, but I know it's more, the demo is more women. So if you are a woman pro wrestling fan, this is right up your alley. Even if you aren't, it might be like a Total Divas thing where you watch it and then decide to check out what Bianca and Montez can do on SmackDown. So they just seem like lovely people, IRL. And I couldn't get enough of their show.
I guess they're not trying to bog her down and whatever the hell they're doing with the Final Testament and the Pride. I did think that was weird. It's like, we need a women's wrestler to come into the stable. You literally have Montez in this. Why is Bianca not in this angle? But
I know.
whatever. I guess they needed something for B-Fab to do post, Swerve just completely eclipsing anything he ever did in WWE. And then, that whole mess of what happened to that stable.
Yeah, and I guess also, because I mean, Street Profits and Bobby Lashley and all that, they started out as heels, but now they're like kind of tweeners.
Because
Like,
nobody wanted to boo Bobby Lashley.
yeah. So I also feel like Bianca, she has too much of that, like, all around girl next door. Like, it's not her, you know? It's just not her.
It would be interesting, because I saw a lot of people like, she needs to turn heel. I'm like, I don't know if
No.
that's going to work out as well as you think it is. And certain Certain wrestlers just should be a certain way. All those years, people are like, John Cena needs to turn heel. I'm like, they're
No.
never gonna do that. And no, they did not. So there you go. But definitely some big stuff coming for Fallout Damage Control. I have one bit of, with all of this talk about Mercedes and where she's gonna wind up. How crazy would it be if she does come back to WWE and get caught up in this whole entire damage control drama, but siding with the Japanese wrestlers stable against her friend Bayley?
I would
That
be
would be
so
messed
sad.
up.
That would be so sad. But like, I'm like pro. I'm like, she's going to AEW. But then again, listen, when all the rumors were former Edge, now Adam Copeland, they were like, he's going to AEW. I'm like, no, he's not, guys. Like, he's not going to do that. And then I was proven wrong. Like, I have a feeling it's going to be the same with Mercedes Moné, Sasha Banks. I mean, like, she's going to AEW. She's not going back to WWE. They're not going to pay that much for her. And then, like, she's going to show up at WrestleMania. You could count on me being the jinxer.
I don't believe in anything until somebody shows up on camera at this
That's
point.
fair.
And
Yeah.
I just think that she would be perfect to bring back and bring into this fold. I'm sure she would probably want a bigger spotlight than being thrown into like a stable. Like breaking down and stuff like that. But it would be great to see her and Bailey back together.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason why I really think her going to AEW would be a good move at this point. I was listening to, I think it was Busted Open, and they brought up a good point, or maybe it was one of the Ringer shows. I don't know. I try to give credit where it's due. But anyway, they were saying that going to AEW is the better move short term. They were talking about Okada, but then going to WWE, while it might not be good in the short term, it's better long term. Like, you can get more out of it in the long run. Obviously, Sasha Banks is a name we all know and love. So I think the long and short of it, too long didn't read, is that by her going to AEW, I really think she could give the women's division a bigger boost. I mean, it's already gotten a boost with Deonna Purrazzo. That's been amazing. And now Serena Deeb is back. So I think she would be a wonderful addition and pick it up. But then how much would it really give her in the long term? Whereas WWE has been like a home for her. People know her there. So it really
Vince
could
is
go either
gone.
way. Yeah. He
And
for good.
yeah, and Papa H is in charge, so looks
Yeah.
like.
I mean, I still am pro. I really do want to see her in AEW just because I would like to see her with people like Queen Amanada. Or who else am I loving there right now? Like Julia Hart, her and Chris Statlander, that would be a really cool match. Like their women's division does have so much potential, and I finally think Tony Khan is starting to get the wheels turning with recognizing how much potential he does have and how he needs to use that to his advantage. And I really think she could push it over the edge.
They have way too many talented wrestlers to be giving them 10 minutes a show.
I know.
It's crap. And like with all those women that you have on your roster, and that's the best you can muster to them, which I would think, I would hope in the long, in like the short run, Mercedes Moné going to AEW would be better for her. But I feel like you'd have to see how Deonna Purrazzo is going to shake out and how some of these other stars have shaken out because I feel like all they have is the attention span to push one person from outside of the company at once. And then you just kind of disappear into the background. It's like, where's Saraya? And
I know.
like they just brought Thunder Rosa back and trying to build her back up. And you know, I feel like they can only focus on one feud at a time, which is a problem when you have that much talent. And I would hate to see her go to either company and then just become like another wrestler.
Yeah, like part of the
Because
wallpaper.
yeah, she's too big of a talent for that. And to be honest, I think that with what happened with Charlotte would be left a big opening for her to potentially come in. But we'll have to see how it shakes out. I keep hearing rumors that she'll be landing sometime in March somewhere. It seems like it's AEW, but we'll have to
Yeah, because
see.
that's Revolution, March 3rd. We'll
Yeah,
see.
there you go. I don't think there's really anything for Marsh or WWE. They're all building up to WrestleMania unless she comes back with a big
Exactly.
angle for that. But the angle I wanted to talk about especially is what the hell happened at the end of SmackDown this week. So it all started on Monday when Seth Rollins got into the ring with Cody Rhodes and basically was gaslighting him into being like, why would you want that? You should come for my title that's been around for like 7 months and has no legacy at all or anything. And I'm just like, something doesn't seem right here. And then SmackDown happened, and Cody came out and he's like, I want that, but not at WrestleMania. I'm like, oh no. Is this actually happening? And then when he's like, when one of the legends I talked about, and then of course The Rock's music hits and he comes out for a stare down, and we're definitely getting The Rock versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. Which, here's the thing. If this were AEW, actually I don't even know that, because I think we were talking about this separately. They did a 2 year buildup for Hangman to win the title, and then they dropped him off like Woody when Buzz Lightyear, aka CM Punk, showed up and just popped the title on him. This kind of feels like WWE is the bigger business. They care more about it's a business. They're going to do what sells. And The Rock is one of the most famous pro wrestlers in the history of this industry, as in across outside of the company. Outside of just the sport, it's he's that big. And this is WrestleMania XL, which I think is very fitting. The Roman numerals really set up that one. And this idea that him going versus Roman Reigns is the money match. And it smells Rick's desperation after Punk got injured, Brock Lesnar's definitely getting canceled. And they didn't get to have either of them on the show. The Rock's on the board of directors now of TKO, and nobody can not say that Dwayne Johnson has one of the biggest egos in the world, I would argue, after he tried to like take over the DCEU and make Black Adam like the new king of the DCEU, which nobody asked for that except for Dwayne Johnson. You know what? This is match quality wise, it's going to be spots, sporadic spots, because Roman doesn't have the longevity in the ring like he used to. Because, this man has gone through leukemia twice and into remission. And I try to remind myself that when I'm like, why is his matches so slow and blah, 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 blah. It's just like, this man's been through a lot. And then The Rock obviously doesn't work on his cardio very often. Because he looks incredible, but he looks gassed as hell after doing anything. So it'll be a spectacle. It'll sell a lot. It'll be big for the Philly market. And that's going to happen. And I'm just going to sit here sad because I wanted Cody to finally win the championship that his father never won. And we're just going to have to wait for that and probably until SummerSlam now. But Diana, what
No,
are
I
your
think
thoughts?
they done messed up. Honestly, I was listening to a podcast and someone mentioned, oh my God, what was I going to say? And I lost it. I don't know. It'll come back to me. But the whole long and short of it is like, we want, oh, this is what I was going to say. We want The Rock versus Roman, just not at WrestleMania. Like maybe not then, because you look at how the Rumble ended. This is what they said too, and I thought the same thing. It's like they were reading from my brain. The perfect ending at the Royal Rumble, and Cody's pointing at, like, Roman. He's like, I'm coming for you. I'm like, oh, this is so good. Like, yes, like shoving cauliflower, buffalo wings, and beer in my face, like watching that as he's pointing. And then it's like he comes out on SmackDown and he's like, I'm coming for you, but not at WrestleMania. Whoopsie whoopsie. Like, we're gonna do it another time. It's like, we'll finish that story another time. And there was a collective moan and groan across the globe because WWE is global now.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just like, what the hell? Because would they have been building this up? And I really think that WWE does get in this trap a lot. They build us up and they build us up and they build us up. And you think you're finally going to get to your high point, and then they build it some more. Like the Bloodline, right? Like, how long has that friggin' story been going on and going
Oh
on
my
and
God, when
going on? And
Paul
it should have
Heyman
ended.
said in that press conference, "We're in the bottom of the third inning," I wanted to jump through the screen and yell at Triple H, "That better not be right, because if I have to deal with 4 more, 5 more years of this, I'm done."
Yeah, like they really should have ended it. Like there was that iconic promo was like, you out of the bloodline and I'm out too. And I was like, this is a solid ending. And then it's just like, we don't care anymore. And I don't want that for Cody Rhodes. Cody, I don't hate him. He's not my favorite though. Like I respect him. He's a good wrestler. I would like to see him with the title because Roman just deserves it. And I am, as much as he's not my favorite, I'm like a Judgment Day girly. Like I'm invested in his story.
Oh yeah, what the hell happened? What the hell happened to Damian Priest and Senior Money in the Bank?
That's another thing. That's, oh my God, I'm so glad you brought that up because that's another story they've been pushing and pushing. And it's like he brings out the briefcase and then like a hamster comes up from under the ring and like takes it away and scurries. It's like Pizza Rat with a briefcase. Like everything happens to this man trying to cash in. And I remember at first, when it was, because I love Finn, it was Finn and Seth for the bell. I'm like, oh my God, Damian better not cash in. And at this point, like, I don't know, 6, 7 months later, I'm like, just cash in already. Just do it. Like, get rid of that briefcase.
I have a sinking feeling this is how it's going to play out, because like The Rock wants the title too,
Yes.
apparently, and I'm like, please no.
No, nobody wants that.
He's
He
literally
calls
the
himself, listen, I know this has been his nickname forever, but the people's champ. Why don't you listen to what the people want? And it is not you. I'm sorry.
he's literally the only human being that wants that title on him.
Yeah.
He loses to Roman at WrestleMania. I have a sinking feeling Cody's going to beat Seth. And then eventually, Damian Priest is going to have to cash in on Cody. Because, like, don't they have a year
They
to cash
do.
in this briefcase? That's coming
They have
up.
a year,
So, like, that
unless
has
they
to
make
happen.
him the first person to never cash in, which then if I were Damian Priest, I'd be like, that's a really bad look, you
Oh,
know?
it's already a bad look. He's
Yeah.
made to look like a clown. Like, he's more of a clown than R-Truth right now. And that's how bad
Yeah.
it is at this point. He would need to cash in on Cody, and that leaves it open for Cody to go after Roman at like SummerSlam or something like that. But like, this is such a whirlwind. This whole, I guess the real topic I want to talk about in general is like the world title pictures in WWE right now, because I was sold when Gunther came out and talked to Seth, and I'm like, yes, I want to see Gunther take that title from Seth at WrestleMania. That's obviously not happening, and I don't even know what the heck going to happen with Gunther, because apparently Brock Lesnar was supposed to be his opponent.
Yes.
So I feel like it's time for him. He's 600 days in. Somebody's gonna beat him at WrestleMania for the Intercontinental Championship and have a big moment. Is it Braun Breaker? Because he took literally everything else that Brock Lesnar had at the Rumble. I don't know. But something needs to happen. Like, Priest needs to cash in that briefcase. He needs to win it. But they better do something to make him seem stronger, because the things that I've seen popping up recently is like, does Cody win the title and then unify at SummerSlam?
Yes,
And then
that's what
what
I
the
heard
hell was
too.
the point of that title in the first place?
Exactly. Because then the whole issue was that like Roman had two titles on SmackDown. We need to bring one here. So then
Well,
if you
now he has
unify it,
three. He has three belts. He has the red one, he has the blue one, he has the green one now. Just like, and then you throw in this other belt, and I'm just like, this has just become such a mess. And it's for some ungodly reason, they're convinced that Roman Reigns needs to beat Hulk Hogan's title reign or whatever the hell. This is my opinion. He should have lost to Drew at Clash of the Castle. Like, that was the moment. And I'm just as mad as Drew McIntyre about how he's been treated because of this. And like, then I'm like, Drew should be in the world title match. It should have been him and Seth. I would have
Agree.
loved to see that instead.
Yeah.
He hurts Punk. He takes his spot against Seth. Do it. But
It
no,
makes sense.
because The Rock just wanted to. The Rock wants to save WrestleMania, a WrestleMania that did not need saving.
Yeah, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
You know, there's so many possibilities and so many stars that are going to get screwed over because of this one decision and the domino effect of it. It's just frustrating. And I wasn't the biggest fan of Cody when I was keeping up with AEW. When he came over, I'm like, oh, this is really cool. It makes me happy to see that he made something for himself, just like Drew McIntyre after WWE cast them away, is like, we don't want to play with you anymore. But like, this has been the build, and this is what should have happened. And you know, I listen to like Bully Ray. I'll listen to him talk
Oh
about
my God.
wrestling and
Don't get me started
stuff.
about him. Don't get me started about him.
And like, I feel like every single person that I've heard on any podcast or any talk about wrestling is just like, why the hell? Why the hell is this happening?
Yeah.
Why are you doing this to Cody Rhodes? My question is, why are you doing this to Cody Rhodes? And the answer is, they're not doing it to Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes just happens to be in a situation that really sucks because his spot's getting taken away by The Rock. And it hasn't been the first time that Dwayne Johnson's done this to somebody, CM Punk. That keeps popping up after 10 years. But in the end, I don't know. I'm not even excited for the match between The Rock and Roman Reigns because all I know is it's going to be spamming finishers. It's going to be a Brock Lesnar Goldberg type match.
Yeah.
We don't want that.
Exactly.
The entrances will be longer than the match. I can
That's like it
guarantee
wasn't
you.
SummerSlam. Like that was another disappointing part, which is another thing. Like I'm like, they could have ended this at SummerSlam with Jay taking the title and then Damian cashing, or like you could have gone so many different routes to get Cody the title that way. But it's SummerSlam. Like the entrances were longer than the match. Like I can just see the build. Then we're gonna have an hour of entrances. I'm gonna get up, get myself another beer,
I'm gonna
and then
fall
they're gonna
asleep
start.
during the main event of night two of WrestleMania because it's on a Sunday night. And they're
Exactly.
definitely main eventing night two of WrestleMania.
Then someone's gonna trip and get the pin, and that's gonna be the match.
I think The Rock's gonna get hurt, to be perfectly honest. And then don't know. One thing I will say, last thing I'll say about Friday night, Roman was really funny though.
Yeah.
When he was ripping into Seth after Seth said all that crap on Monday night, I thought that was pretty funny. Roman is entertaining.
He's talented at like when it comes to the promo portions and the acting, he is so talented. He's nailed that dynamic of like you don't have to say much, but like what you express, he just gets the point across. And his dynamic with Solo and Jimmy and all that, because like Jimmy, I feel like is having a little bit of problems like trying to nail his character, but I think he's coming into his own with that like sidekick of the high school bully that like wants to fit in and whatever, and the no yeet of it all. But Roman, he's always had that going for him. Like he can just command a performance by doing the least, and I
Which
mean that in
shocks
the
the hell
best
out of me
way.
because he sucked. Like, I hated him cutting promos pre him leaving. When he was a baby face, I'm like, oh, please don't talk. I don't want to listen to you talk. And then they put him with Paul Heyman, and like this has just been. And that's the thing, they keep milking it because it is gold. Like when he's on camera, it's been too long. Today's day and age, title reigns are too long. That being said, I still think Gunther's is still interesting and exciting, but it's also not what 1300 days this is coming up on.
And Gunther, I mean, not to knock Roman because we have talked about his medical issues, but like Gunther can wrestle. Like you look at that man and you're like, that's like another Jade Cargill situation. Like this man was put on this earth to do this and he could wrestle like a log. He could wrestle plank from Ed, Edd n Eddy and it would be interesting. You know, like he's just got the skills.
So a s small part of me wants to see Sheamus come back, and take the title off of him at WrestleMania. But the only problem is Sheamus doesn't need it.
Right.
He just hasn't won the title, that title in particular. I'm also a big Sheamus fan, but that's just me.
Yeah, I remember that.
I
I
love
see.
big,
I
meaty
liked when
men.
you too many limes. No, I liked when Gable and Gunther had that back and forth. Like, I want them to bring that back. I thought that was really good.
If he gets that title match at WrestleMania, I would love that. If he gets his big
Yeah.
moment and wins the title. But obviously, we had a lot to say on these two topics. SmackDown was very eventful this
It
past week.
was.
And we have a whole road to WrestleMania coming up. Perfect time to start a podcast about pro wrestling. But Diana, it's always fun chatting wrestling with you.
Hell yeah.
And thank all of you out there for listening. Please make sure to follow, subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast for the SPDM Crew Podcast Network, and continue to support us here on the Ruthless Obsession Podcast.
I love that.